Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second scripture reading is from Luke 24, verse 24 to 32. This is the walk to Emmaus. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us. For it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, Do not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us to scriptures. Do not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us in the scriptures. So I guess today's theme is pay attention. And as you can see, that there was a little barrage that went through the house this morning, according to my wife anyway. She didn't recognize me, especially in these digs. But I love wearing a tie every now and then. It makes you be a little bit more bold. Pay attention. The four Gospels each talk about the end days of Jesus, his trial and his going through all that he did, then being entombed and then raised from the dead. Luke talks about the road to Emmaus, two people, Cleopas, and we're only told that it was a companion of some kind. And while they conversed, they reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And then they preached the mighty commission and talked about the ascension. They walked for 60 stadia to Emmaus. A stadia in Greek, the Greek word is about 607 feet. So they walked for 7 miles. In Mark, Jesus appeared in another form to two of them. That's all it says in Mark. To two of them as they walked and went into their country. Was this the same two? And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, the great commission and the great ascension. Matthew, a little bit more sparse description. Angel of the Lord told the women that he had risen. Women saw him first, and then later he appeared to the disciples, the resurrection and the great commission and the great ascension of Jesus. In John, the resurrection, then the appearances were first. Mary sees and speaks with the angels, and then Jesus reveals himself to the disciples two or three more times. He had not ascended yet. Mary goes and the disciples and tells them, according to John, Jesus appears to the disciples. Thomas doubts, and as Pastor Malcolm talked last week, they fished for fish, and they got lots. Jesus ascended to the Father, and Simon Peter was, in my mind, given the Great Commission in many ways through a discussion with Jesus. One line that says, "And truly Jesus showed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." So, three Gospels, three media-like people telling us what happened, giving us different viewpoints. And today I'm going to talk about the two on the road to Emmaus. What do we make of these two men walking to Emmaus? They're leaving Jerusalem after all that happened, going there initially with all the high hopes in the world, and then walking back 7 miles back to their home. And they, along the way, talk much. They weren't sure about all the events. They weren't sure about everything that happened. Not even aware of this other person that is walking beside them. How could that be? How could they feel? How do they feel? I often think about 9/11. I think about all the people that walked across the Brooklyn Bridge or a bridge just to try to get home back to New Jersey or wherever. And I'm sure the same kind of talk happened between companions. Oh my gosh, what's going on? What's happening? Are we going to be all right? How do you feel? How did you feel after those events like 9/11? Even happy events, how did you feel? Our roads, the road that we take, our road to Emmaus happens to us almost every day. One of the two, it is thought, could have been Luke himself. Many in the religious world, Christian world, think that that's the case. All we can be sure of is that he is not one of the original disciples, and certainly a companion is not. At any rate, the two were sadly rehearsing the death and burial of the Lord as they returned from Jerusalem, a journey again about 7 miles. As they proceeded, this stranger alongside them, it was truly the risen Lord, but they did not recognize him. He asked them what they had been talking about. At first, they stopped short, and they were just a picture of abject misery. Then Cleopas expressed surprise that even a stranger in Jerusalem could have been unaware of all that could happen. Jesus drew closer to them and further questioned them. Why? What happened? They answered by first paying tribute to Jesus. Then reviewing his trial and crucifixion, they told of their dashed hopes. They gave him the reports about his body and how it was later put in a tomb. And indeed, some angels later had given assurance that he was alive. Jesus then lovingly chided them for not realizing that this was exactly the pathway which the prophets, and as Anne wrote the praise psalm, he talked about many Old Testament statements that said that this was going to happen. How could they forget that? This person said. He must suffer, as it said in the Old Testament. Then he would be glorified, beginning at Genesis and continuing through all the books of the prophets. The Lord reviewed all the scriptures, which referred to himself as they walked the 7 miles. It was a wonderful Bible study, and how we should love to have been with him along that walk. But we have some old, the same Old Testament, and we have now a stronger Holy Spirit to teach us, so we have a bigger advantage. It's not as fresh as back then, but we have some advantage in having the Holy Spirit guide us. So we too can discover in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And then they went on and they convinced this person to stay with them. They had a meal, broke bread, and passed it to them. They knew him from the first time. And they saw that something was different. And they started asking. Why didn't they ask, in fact? I'm sorry. Why didn't they ask about his hands? Why didn't they ask him about what he went through? We only know that their eyes had been miraculously opened so that they could recognize him. As soon as that happened, poof, he vanished. And in the other stories in the gospel, this is true as well. Jesus or an angel came and would be blessing someone and giving them a little bit more about what happened. And I think this was part of the plan. But much of this parallels my own life. I can think of all the times that I had hoped that I would be a little bit better, a little bit more paying attention. And I had my many roads to Emmaus where I just didn't pay attention to the person next to me, whether it was a real person or even the Spirit of God. I knew my destination. It was certainly Emmaus, but I really didn't know where I'd end up. Maybe, you know, I knew I would end up in some kind of town, but I really didn't know where I was going to end up. And so the ebb and flow of life is that way. And I'm sure that, like them, I've had many doubts, distractions, worries. Everything is a trouble. And I forget that I'm just like Cleopas and his friend. No idea who was next to me, literally or spiritually. It's like walking through the woods with my best hiking buddy, Sal. When you take a walk many times up a path, even if it's a strenuous path, in the woods there are many troubles. Roots of trees, little pebbles that will turn your ankle if you don't pay attention, rocks that are just a little bit above the ground, and you can trip anytime. You know, scientists say that we really can't multitask. We can't do five things at the same time. It's just really impossible. Our brains are not geared that way. Maybe two. So in the case of walking in the woods, walking is important, and walking properly and paying attention. Otherwise, you're on your face or just falling. And that's easier to do than you think, even if you're an expert walker, expert hiker. You have to pay attention. And like many of our hikes, we try two things. We walk and we talk. Just like Cleopas and his companion on the way to Emmaus. We talk. We have solved so many world problems. It's just incredible. But you still have to watch for those roots and the little twigs as you're going downhill, especially. You roll your foot out and whoops, you're on your backside. You have to pay attention. Also pay attention to the companion you're with. Sometimes that doesn't happen. One of us will yell out, oh, look at the hawk. Look at the red tail. Now we're doing three things. Try that. Seriously, try that on a hiking trail that's going like this and like that. That would be the third thing. It's not easy. And just those basic things, if you think about it, back in the times during just starting of Acts, the book of Acts. Just think, shoes aren't really great. Your sandals are thinner than my hand, probably. Just barely put together with a little bit of leather. And you do have some travels up and down. I looked on the map. You have some travels up and down to go to Emmaus. But you have a companion to do it with you. Real and spiritually. My career, that's another thing I keep on thinking about as well. In my career, I was the best doer, just like this picture. I was the best doer. I was the best person to get the task done, whatever it was. Everything else was by luck. It was by no strategy, no tactical process. Just do this. And I was good at it. But I was lost in myself. As even Brother Lawrence says, praise God for even washing the dishes. But I didn't even go there. I didn't really regard the companion that was on my right shoulder, whispering in my ear, pay attention. But God does push out our thinking sometimes. Gets us to stop, meditate, take our opportunities a little slower, because there's these little rocks and roots and stones that we could trip on. Just like the two on the road to Emmaus, lost in the events of the day, thinking where they fit in all this and not seeing the person next to them who had some pretty good questions. How does that happen? So we're many times distracted. We don't see the stranger next to us, or even our companion at times, because we're lost in our own thoughts, who is trying to help us along the road to Emmaus. So I suggest three things. The best thing is just stop. Look at the bigger picture. Stopping means getting good night's sleep. It means getting some exercise so you sleep better. Slowing down even when you eat. Resting. That's why I think in the Bible, in many ways, and especially in the New Testament, they talk about the times they stopped and ate. Realize, too, that you can only do one thing at a time. Truthfully, be honest to yourself about that. Stop. Have a short conversation with your companion, God. Stick with the first thing you started. And as Eugene Peterson said, the great theologian, listen. 50% of your prayer should be listening. And the last thing, get a buddy. Thank you, buddy hiker. He's your best partner also. Trust him. Bounce those ideas off him. Seek to understand together. Assume the best of intentions from both of us, especially when we meet new people. And in case it could be the buddy next to you that you finally realize is there beside your hiking buddy, just as Cleopas and his companion saw, God is always with you. And if it's two of you, he's always with you, both of you, together. Yes, rest, listen, one thing at a time, get a partner, ask for the partner to be clear, and just sit and listen. Through all this, God is always there. He is working in our lives right now. Listen to these words from Jesus, that guy that walked next to Cleopas and his companion. John 15. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be much more fruitful later. Amen to God. Amen on the road to Emmaus. Amen to our Lord and Savior.